Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Iran attacks Israel. CNN's Amanpour minimizes the barrage and fake news goes viral. Well, that is according to Honest Reporting. Joining us this morning is Simon Ploska. He's managing editor for Honest Reporting. Simon, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm okay, thank you. And in fact, I'm very, very happy that we are 1 hour ahead of you in Israel here, because I hate getting up too early, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. This is the crew that gets up at four in order to make sure that we're ready in studio for our kickoff at six. So, yeah, we do feel your pain. Simon, I mean, listen, you're probably one of the busiest guys around with all of the reporting since October the 7th. But Saturday night, Iran attacks Israel in the most unbelievable way. What followed in terms of reporting and media? What did you see?
Well, I mean, let me just start by saying that, you know, living through what happened was a very, very surreal experience indeed. I fell asleep in the early hours. You know, we knew it was on the way.
Of course.
I fell asleep with CNN on the TV. I was woken up by my phone with lots of the red alerts buzzing. And I saw this screen on CNN. Unfortunately, it showed Jerusalem under attack, and I'd actually sent my two kids to stay with their grandparents there. A bit of a mistake that was. But I look out the window, and I could see what looked like a ball of flame, like streaking in the sky, literally over my house, which was very disconcerting. And obviously, it was a very, very unpleasant night for hundreds and thousands of Israelis. Now, I didn't get sirens, but you know, it's very difficult to sleep through what had just happened. So, of course, you know, we looked the next day at the media coverage. Let's just start with what went on online in the immediate aftermath. Some of the things that we saw were absolutely ridiculous. Al Jazeera, which we all know is a Qatari mouthpiece, they published a video showing, they claimed, rockets hitting Tel Aviv, which of course didn't happen. You may have heard of a pro-Hamas influencer called Jackson Hinkle,
of course,
who's been banned from most social media platforms, but he's got a huge following on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. And he showed fake footage that there was apparently of Israelis panicking as this Iranian barrage was hitting Israel. And yet the video was later confirmed to be crowds in Argentina.
Oh, that was the One Direction concert, yes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the mind boggles. I mean, this guy's been recently banned from Instagram, amongst other places. So, you know, hopefully his influence is being limited, but still. Iranian state TV, they also showed lots of videos which they claimed were showing catastrophic damage in Israel. They included one that was actually a fire, and it was from Chile that was filmed in February. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure the Iranians were very, very frustrated that that most or 99% of the things that they threw at us didn't manage to hit. But and other things that we saw, for example, there was on the other side, it was claimed that we were attacking Tehran, and at least one account showed a fire in Tehran.
Yes, and I saw that there as well. Others,
yeah, and others showed footage of what actually was the, if you remember, the 2020 Beirut port explosion, which was huge. And they said that Israel's Mossad was bombing the Iranian capital. Let's put aside the fact that Mossad itself doesn't have the capability to bomb anything from the air. It's a spy agency. So these were the sort of fake news that was traveling around. But what was perhaps more important and more disturbing was the coverage in some media outlets. And you mentioned CNN before. So we saw, for example, Christiane Amanpour, who's a real favorite of ours, very prominent CNN pundit. She said, and I quote, "It seems to be entirely targeted. It wasn't an attack directed at the whole of Israel." Well, I'm sorry, Christiane.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, this was over 300, you know, we're talking drones and missiles directed towards Israel. And to start trying to diminish what had happened is completely out of order. And quite frankly, if only one of those ballistic missiles had actually landed in a populated area, that would have been possibly tens of thousands of people killed or injured. So, to start downplaying these things, and even we saw the BBC, again, another favourite, and the BBC never ceases to surprise when it comes to its headlines. It talks about sirens ring through Jerusalem as objects shot down from the
Yeah,
sky.
unbelievable.
What were they? UFOs? I mean, this was not an invasion of aliens from Mars, objects. I mean, really, unbelievable. Also, we had the New York Times, and this was something that was we saw in a lot of the media coverage, this sort of justification that for Iran's attack by saying that Israel had bombed an Iranian embassy complex in Damascus. Well, let's be absolutely clear here. It wasn't the embassy itself that was hit, and of course, Israel hadn't and never admitted responsibility in any case. It was a building near the embassy, and some people are calling it a consulate building. But the fact was, it was being used by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and their leadership to coordinate attacks on Israel. They were meeting with members of Hezbollah at the time that it was attacked, and therefore, this was effectively a military target. And even if you want to go that route and say, well, Iran was justified in responding, sending over 300 drones and missiles towards Israel is an entirely disproportionate response. And that really does change the rules of the game here.
What's fascinating is how difficult it was for so-called humanitarians over the last week to find a way to validate and support Iran, knowing full well who Iran is. So when you see people in South Africa like Zaki Ahmed, who is a very well-known, he was an activist in the gay community for HIV, obviously quite his stance very, very strongly anti-Israel, but he the convoluted ways in which they were trying to support Iran but not support Iran, it really did get them into a terrible, terrible mess. I'd imagine it was the same thing with mainstream media.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned someone like Zaki Ahmed, doing things for the LGBT plus community. Well, if he was doing that in Iran, he'd be hanging from a crane.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no doubt. And that's what was so amazing. In terms of the, what you've told us is a lot of the fake news. Was there a lot of filtering around the Iranian attack in terms of what we saw reported globally?
It's difficult to know what went on really, because ultimately what occurred, it was very difficult to actually see in real time, because we didn't thankfully we did not have missiles actually landing. So any sort of footage we have is probably from the air forces, which of course included the Israeli one and the US and UK, for example, showing things being shot down. So we don't have a full picture of the enormity of what was actually happening, other than the, I suppose, the footage you saw of various things lighting up the sky at sort of 2 o'clock in the morning here in Israel.
Absolutely
So
unbelievable.
it was definitely a very interesting evening, to say the least.
I always ask you this question because it just fascinates me. The response that you get at that, obviously, we don't expect anything more from an Al Jazeera, but the BBC, CNN, I'm assuming that that you challenge them on this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would invite people, your listeners, to follow us on places like Twitter and Instagram and elsewhere. We are constantly calling out these media outlets. We also send complaints as well when we think it's justified. But more importantly, we're just exposing the bias.
Absolutely incredible and important work. Simon Plosker, that's where we leave it, managing editor at Honest Reporting, talking to us about the week that was following the Iranian attack. It's 8:30.